This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
So yesterday, President Obama and Joe Biden swore in Julia Pearson to become the head of the Secret Service, the first woman to lead the Secret Service. If I remember correctly, Ms. Pearson joined, what was it, 1983? I mean, she's had a long and storied career. They say she's tough as nails. She gets things done, and she knows how things need to be done in the organization. Now, I'm always honest with you. Am I the only one who thought that in light of the prostitution scandal in Cartagena, Colombia last year with the Secret Service, that Obama may have picked the right woman for the job and not the right person for the job? I'm not saying she's not the right person, but was this a move to soften the image, so to speak, of the Secret Service? Joining us on the program to talk about it, Anita Findlay. She's an author, actress, you probably know her from 24, Dr. Nora Thompson on The Young and the Restless. She's a blogger and author of the book Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Joining us, Ms. Findlay, welcome back.
Hi, Jerry. How are you? And call me Anita, please.
Okay, Anita, please.
I love it when you say please, Jerry. It makes my day.
That's like when you go through the book and you see instructor staff when you register for college classes. You go, man, this guy teaches everything. Instructor staff.
Oh, that's terrible.
So anyway, Anita, please. Am I the only one who thought that, or am I just willing to be honest enough to say that this, unfortunately for Ms. Pearson, might be how she's perceived and why she got the job?
That may be how she's perceived, but I don't think both things are mutually exclusive. It's possible that she's the best woman for the job and the best person for the job, and we're not going to know that until we give her a chance to, you know, run through her paces and see what she has to do. I mean, if you go through the woman's resume in the past 30 years, she's also worked on the protection details of President Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. And she's risen through the ranks in an agency that is 90% men. That's more than the ratio in any other law enforcement agency. So for her to rise the way she has in such a macho culture there is no mean feat. And clearly she was pretty much second in command anyway as chief of staff and also as the deputy director. So it's not like they just plucked some woman out of obscurity and said, let's stick her with it. So in this case, she may be both. And I think also, you know, we may be talking about a trifecta here because as the deputy press secretary to President Obama noted, you know, he's trying to fight off the image of a boys club in his cabinet and inner circle altogether. But it is also worth noting that he has a woman heading the Marshal Service, Stacia Hilton, who, if you look at her resume, Jerry, she is absolutely kick-ass. I mean, this is somebody who was the Emergency Response Incident Commander at Ground Zero, for crying out loud. So, you know, and she's been given all sorts of presidential service medals, and this is the Marshal Service, and these are not a bunch of namby-pamby people either. So, you know, there was a hit piece about, or rather a hit piece, I should say, about Ms. Pearson in the Washington Post saying she's just been riding a desk. But, you know, when you get promoted to management, certainly your job is to oversee. And I think we need to, you know, wait and see what she's going to do. I mean, clearly the guy who was before this one who had to resign in disgrace, Mark Sullivan, with this scandal, Ralph Basham, he was in his 60s when he was running the agency. Does anybody think he was running alongside a limo with a gun and a, you know, an earpiece defending the president? Not really.
And I love when Mark Sullivan stepped down after 7 years. He became one of five partners in a new global security firm.
Oh, come
and,
on.
Yeah, and the company is called Global Security and Intelligence Strategies, and they're in the early stages of development where they're going to be working with the government to help develop global security and intelligence strategies that we can see someone who left be recycled back into a profit center position, kind of like Mike Chertoff and all the others that seem to leave government under somewhat, I guess, less than stellar circumstances, but yet find a way to reinvent themselves with a nice cash cow at their side.
And it only takes about 5 minutes to do it. Isn't it just absolutely amazing? I find that so horrific, you know. And the other thing is, I hope that whatever he's teaching them at this new agency, they don't have to continue what I read was the wheels up, rings off attitude of Secret Service agents who are on foreign assignment. And by the way, I certainly don't mean to disparage the entirety of the Secret Service for the actions of an errant few. I mean, that would not be fair. I'm sure that most of these people are very hardworking and you know, they work at great risk. And certainly, you know, the other thing people may not be aware of is that in addition to what they do in the protective service detail, a lot of their job, in fact, the original job when the Secret Service was started in 150 years ago, was to go after fraud and counterfeiting.
Right. Now, with regard to, you said something, you know, the Secret Service is kind of a boys' club. Is that a bad thing? I think some people would look at it, Anita, and say, you know, well, yeah, okay, so maybe they're a little rough around the edges, and maybe they do subscribe to wheels up, rings off. And for those who don't understand what that means as soon as the wheels are up on the aircraft and you're heading somewhere, you take your wedding rings off. I didn't think we'd have to explain that, but I did. But,
Thank you. I'm sure our listeners are very happy that
No, I know there's some people in my family that are listening that are going, what? Wheels up, rings off?
No.
So I wanted to make sure they understood it.
But you know something? Here's how I look at all of this, Jerry. What somebody does behind closed doors is not my business. What is my business is, does what you do on your own time interfere with the effective carrying out of your job?
Right.
And
I,
if
I agree.
There is any moment that that is compromised, and you are also, you know, we're also dealing in the process of image management. We have to be honest about that. And the Secret Service, I mean, they are in charge of protecting the First Family, among other dignitaries. And that reputation, you know, we're in a global economy. We're in a global news cycle where all of this information is worldwide instantly. So I think that, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where somebody is a laughing stock due to the actions of, you know, these 13 guys. And so I think that that sort of thing is important. And something else I wanted to point out about Ms. Pearson's being appointed to this position, you know, it's not going to be easy for her, because if she's there to change the perception, if you look at financial markets, because certainly, you know, in finance, in politics, and in law enforcement, it really is a male-dominated world. And a lot of times in the financial sector, for example, down on Wall Street, women are the last ones to be promoted to these top executive positions.
Sure.
And very often they are promoted in times of the company having difficulty. They are given a short time to turn it around, and if they can't, then they are the ones who get axed, because they don't have, you know, that sort of boys network built in kind of a protection. So, you know, her being appointed to this is a double-edged sword for her.
Yeah. Well, there is a breaking down of the good old boy kind of a network. Some people are going to say, oh, yeah, it's the feminization of the Secret Service. But to your point about Wall Street, I worked for Drexel and Prusak for 10 years.
Right.
My assistant was a woman, a black woman, and she was in the business for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody that I came across in the firm. Drexel Burnham had 10,000 employees. I didn't know all of them. But I was a sales manager. I knew a lot of people at Drexel. And there was nobody in the firm that was, I think, more knowledgeable, polished, professional, honest, and ethical than she was. But she was always going to be a sales assistant or an executive assistant. And there was a ceiling, so to speak, where she could rise to the top of what it was that she did, working with the top producers in the firm, but never be given a book or never have the opportunity to build her own book for two reasons. One, she was a woman, and two, she was black.
But don't you see? But that's exactly what I'm talking about. How ridiculous is that kind of unfairness? And, you know, for better or worse, whether it's in the political debate or in any of these spheres, if you look at, let's say, something that I talked about in Dirty Words on Clean Skin, you know, in dealing with media bias, let's say in the 2010 midterms, women were still viewed as outsiders, and therefore they were viewed as more trustworthy. So that in times of trouble economically, people may tend to look at women and think that they're not part of the cronyism or what have you, whether that's true or not. That tends to be the belief system. So, you know, isn't it unfortunate, though, that women may get into, and they say that women politicians get into for cause-related matters, not so much for the glory of it. So isn't it a shame that we somehow still feel predisposed to this kind of stereotypical thinking, because clearly your assistant should have had her own book and yep. clearly could have done that job.
And the clients that she would have handled would have benefited tremendously from it. But let me ask you this. By the way, Anita Finley is with us. She's an author, actress, blogger. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com. All major book retailers, her website, Anita Finley, FINLAY.com.
You do that so well.
Thank you. Thank you. I was up all night getting ready for you to come on the program.
Hey, listen.
That's it. I'm sleep deprived, but I'm still a happy person. When you join a group, an organization, a gang, a country club, let's just go with the country club. Don't you usually get the lousy tea time? And in that kind of an analogy, as people are new to the party, so to speak, as women would be heading up the Secret Service or women on Wall Street or fill in the blank of whatever organization that women are now starting to work their way up through the ranks of, is it just not a natural circumstance where they get the lousy tea time in the beginning?
Yeah, but how long does the beginning have to last, Jerry? We're in the workforce at least 50 years now, so how long do we have to take the lousy tea time? I frankly don't even, you know, look, I'm not a greedy person. I don't really care about the lousy tea time anymore. What I care about is if I walk into your office and I pitch you something and I'm better at this than the guy who walks in after me, I should get that job. I shouldn't automatically get the lousy tea time because
right.
I haven't been part of your golf circle just because I don't know how to tee off, whatever. I know how to do my job because
right.
to me, it ain't a bar. I'm there to do my work. And clearly, that's why Ms. Pearson is being appointed as well.
But there is a shrinking of, let's just say, the wage gap. I mean, there's a report out called The Simple Truth About the Gender Pay Gap. Women earn about 90% of the median wage of the male counterparts until age 35. Then that really kind of slows down or stalls. 1971, women earned about 60% of what the male counterpart wages were. It's about 77% today. Is that not progress, or is that not progress fast enough? Or do you think that there are people that are standing in the way of that progressing even faster?
I think the latter two are true. It's not progress fast enough, and there's people in the way of that. And part of that has to do with the kind of gender bias that we still see coming from media, from politicians, from advertisers, from comedians. I mean, all of that works of a piece. And the other thing is, you have to remember that 73% of women are in the labor force today, and more women are getting college degrees than men. And I would debate that 10% wage gap because my research shows me that it's wider than that. I mean, even physicians, where you would think there was no wage gap, it has been shown that male physicians make at least 12% more, even accounting for differences in specialty.
Right. But I use the 10%, the 90%, 10% gap up until age 35. But in actuality, if you look across all of the wage gap statistics, it's somewhere up around 23%.
Yeah, which is pretty ridiculous. Are we trying to say that women work 23% less hard than men do? I mean, I would argue that point to the death. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I think the bottom line is, in terms of Ms. Pearson's appointment, and like I said, there, you know, most of the press on her has been pretty positive with this appointment, and there was one kind of hit piece in Washington Post talking about, well, she was down at Disneyland as if that was the only thing she was doing for George Herbert Walker Bush was marching in the parade, you know, and instead of talking about what her real qualifications were. I think we have to remember that if somebody rose that far in that kind of a culture, they didn't do this for tokenism, especially in an organization
right.
where there's only 10% women in 3,500 agents.
What about, you know, there are some people that just say, well, it's best if I don't do any. In NASA, for example, our space program, a bunch of the astronauts, because it's such a bureaucracy down there, they say that it's better to blow up than it is to blank up. Is there a certain pressure now that a Julia Pearson or someone like her that breaks that ceiling, becomes the first woman picked to lead the Secret Service, that she doesn't necessarily do the things she used to do to get to the point where she became the head of the Secret Service, because now she's being judged differently because she's in more of a spotlight?
Well, I think, here's what I hope. I hope that she's going to do her job the way she knows how to do it. This woman has worked in every single part of the Secret Service. She knows the agency back to front. So let's just hope that she doesn't sit there with an eye looking over the back of her head, you know, looking for reporters watching her. I mean, that's what we would all hope happens. But, you know, again, it's so easy for us to make an assumption that because someone is a woman, you know, I don't think that she's going to soften the agency. I mean, do we really doubt that Hillary Clinton wouldn't have been a tougher president or better president than Barack Obama is?
Yep.
I don't. So I think, you know, like I said, we have to hope that she did a lot to get herself to be second in command, and now she's in charge. She's not going to soften the image of the agency. I think her job is the opposite. I think her job is to toughen it up.
Yeah, I just want to have the conversation because I know some other people are thinking that, but they're like, oh, I better not say it because I don't want to be politically incorrect. But, you know, sometimes you have to talk about the things that aren't talked about. And one of the things that we got to talk about is the wage gap and people moving up through the ranks, women moving up through the ranks. And what was that cigarette commercial? You come a long way, baby. But not long enough. Exactly. Nita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Always enjoy talking with you. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Amazon.com. Her website is Anita Finley, FINLAY.com. Yes, the name sounds familiar. She's an actress, too. 24, and The Young and the Restless. YNR, as we used to know it when I was on the B&B across the studio halls at CBS Television Studio City. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.